Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to House of Peter Blog Talk Radio. I'm so happy that you guys tuned in today because I wanted to talk to you about a place called the wilderness, where many conversations about the wilderness has not taken place because either some have not experienced it, or some don't know they're in it, or some came out of it and don't want to relive it. So, today, that's what we're going to be speaking about. And let's open up and pray and invite God in. So, Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you that you are in control. We thank you that you have come to bring revelation, to bring teachings, to bring lessons, to show that you are a father to your children and that you are the provider and that you are all that you say you are. You are the great I am. So we thank you for this very time with you that we are going to spend hearing from you, learning from you. And we ask that you would seal this in Jesus' name. So, walking in the wilderness, what an amazing topic. I have to say that I can only speak to you about my experience. I can't speak to you about something I don't know about. So what I'm saying to you about walking in the wilderness is something that we, and I, myself, has experienced and living in. A lot of people do not like the wilderness, okay? But a lot of them don't know they're in it. And those who do know they're in it have to come out of it. And some that don't know that they're in it stay in it and never come out. So I want to talk to you about, first, how do you know you're in the wilderness? And second, what's the purpose of your wilderness? And I'm going to try to impact this in 30 minutes. So, go to Job, chapter 23, verse 8 and 9. Job was in the wilderness, as well as John the Baptist. Verse 23, verse 8 and 9 says, I go west, I go east, but he is not there. I go west, but I cannot find him. I do not see him in the north, for he is hidden. And I look to the south, but he is concealed. Job is saying, I'm looking for God, and I can't see him. I'm hearing from God, and I can't hear him. I'm trying to figure out why I'm here, and he is not responding. But just as far as God, as Job thought God was, as far as he was, it's as close as he is. It might not make sense on how he feels so far, but how can he be so close? Because God said one of his promises is that he will never forsake us. And you have to believe that he will never forsake you, and there's a purpose for everything in your life. There's a timing for every season. Let's talk about first, before we get into why God does the wilderness, I want to talk to you how you can see that you're in the wilderness. Okay, how do you know you're in the wilderness? Well, it's a place where you normally have control and you no longer have control. Okay, it's a place where total control is now taken away from you. Everything you do feels like an unseen force is resisting your usual efforts to even make a regular decision. So decisions that you had no problem in making, you're having a problem making now. You're in a place where it feels total chaotic, at the same time, totally in order. It's a place where you can become unbalanced if you don't know where you are and what's going on. It's a place where you can have a massive amount of spiritual warfare. When Jesus walked into the 40 days of the desert, that's all he was. What was happening with him is that he was being tested by the enemy himself, by Satan himself, was kept testing him throughout the 40 days. But Jesus knew God and knew his word. As a matter of fact, Jesus was the word. So therefore, he fought his battle with God and the word of God. And at the same time, I want you to know that you're not in the desert alone, that there are angels assisting you at the time of your testing and the time of this place of trusting. There's one thing I have to tell you that I cannot keep emphasizing is the amount of angels that are surrounding us, swerving around us, worshiping with us, dancing with us, ministering to us at the time of this warfare, this battle, that the time of testing, a time of not understanding, that the angels are sitting with you. As a matter of fact, they become among you. As a matter of fact, sometimes they even allow their light to be seen, so that you are aware that we are here, we are sent, and we are because angels are apostolic as well. They're sent ones. So they are coming to the ones that have been sent, and they begin to surround you. Also, I want you to know that this is a place of frustration, annoyance, and a place of fear. So if you come into this place, you are going to encounter these emotions. But remember, emotions are never our friends. We have to trust in God and what God says in the Word, that this is who I am, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to leave you here. I have to do something with you. The next thing is that you feel your grace is gone. The normal grace of the divine assistance, the assistance that God gives us in our normal grace, doesn't feel like it's there. It feels like you're maybe like a car out of gas. And the only way you can make it forward is by pushing yourself. You know, this is the only season that you are feeling, you don't feel God's grace, His strength to keep on moving forward. You might feel like you want to give up, but I advise you not to give up. I advise you to give in to God. Because God gives us the grace, and grace, it gives us the strength to proceed in all He has called us to do. Here you feel like God is so far, but yet He's so close as your skin. So please keep in mind that it's not a time of giving up. It's a time of giving in. It's a time of surrender. It's a time of death. It's time to die to your flesh. The next thing that happens when you're in the wilderness, and this is how you'll know, is that old, unhealed areas of pain, sin problems that you barely kept under control suddenly begin to surface in full force at that. So if it's anger, lust, control issues, financial issues, sexual issues, whatever that was not healed, anything that is old and unhealed that causes pain or causes sin will now resurface. All of a sudden, you don't have the ability to ease it as you did before. You don't have the ability to control it as you did before. For some reason, now it's in manifestation form, and if you had any sin that you practice, if you practice a secret sin of habit, suddenly you have less control over it, and you're getting caught up very easily. Your hidden problem becomes exposed to everyone, so that you'll be forced to deal with it. Okay, so this is a place where you have to come and ask God for finally to be set free from hidden sins that you have practiced to keep hidden, from old wounds, places of that need to be healed, sins that need to be corrected, pain that needs to go away. This is the place where God begins to resurface that in you. And the craziest thing is that those things will manifest around others. So now others will start to see that there's hidden things in you that need to be fixed, that need to be healed. And only God can do that. And that's what sometimes in the place of wilderness is what He wants done. So He has to bring you into the wilderness. And then all of a sudden you become barbaric in areas that you didn't know that there was barbarism. Bring it back to God so that God can heal it, seal it, and complete it, and to make you whole again. See, because there's times that we have our things, what we try to control, our anger, lust, and all that stuff, but that's not what God wants, is for you to have control. He wants you to bear fruit. And the fruits of the Spirit, one of them, and the greatest one of them, is self-control. Okay, and that's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of you, it's a fruit of the Spirit. The next thing you'll find is that you'll be pulled away from the world into intensive times of study and prayer and just being alone with God. You'll find the attachments of the world, like the obligations, are starting to have no support from God. So you are now living on the grid. And for those who have come from the world into Christ, well, you're now living on the grind. You are now living in full support of God. You don't know what can happen, what's going on. You're just living off the grid and in the grind with God. He does that so you can trust Him and have full reliance on Him. Your finances will dry up, and you're living on just bare essentials. Just things you need and not things you want. Difficult to pay your bills, and you begin to think that you would be like Jesus with no place to lay your head, or whether you'll make it out alive. You know, so you'll learn to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God for everything and direction, and it is now very limited. So your direction in this time is very limited. You know, you're seeking and looking for direction, but you won't get it. You won't get it as you did on a high, you know, priority, like you're high, you know. Okay, when you're a baby, you have to attend to the baby. You have to feed your baby. When the baby cries, you come to it. So when you were a baby, fully reborn again, God attended to your every need. He was there when you prayed. You would pray a prayer, and 5 minutes later, he would answer it. When you cried, he would come and comfort it. He was there to attend to you, to change you, to mold you, to rename you. But this is the season where he comes to pull you into maturity. You have now been a baby and long enough. Now I need you to grow up. I need you to mature, and I need you to do what I called you to do. This is the place where you have to learn to walk. You can no longer crawl. So those are a few ideas to allow you to see that if you're in these steps or you're in this place, you're going to find yourself in the wilderness. And I'm going to say to you, remain strong and trust in the Lord and follow. I'm going to tell you to follow his directions. You're going to say, but I'm not going to be able to hear from him. But guess what? I promise you that if you sit alone with God, I get a vision of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was living in the wilderness, and people would say he was so barbaric. What he wore, a sackcloth and a leather belt. I mean, he was just one of those people that you would call crazy. But, you know, John the Baptist wasn't crazy. He lived a life of wilderness. So what happened was that he ran off to the wilderness to be alone with God, to hear from God. He got accustomed to that lifestyle. So not only was he in a place where he felt like God wasn't with him and God wasn't near, but at the same time, he would hear and feel God. So what am I saying? Yeah, he's going to look crazy. He's going to look like he's bipolar. You know, one minute he's crying out, God, where are you? Where are you? Why are you doing this to me? Why did you bring me here? And then all of a sudden he starts cracking up. There you are. I knew you didn't leave. Because it's a place where God is doing his greatest work in you. And it can bring you to a place where you're unbalanced and not sure if he's there, but you know you hear him. It's a crazy, crazy time in your life, but the only thing you have right now is his word. The only thing you can come to is the Bible. The only thing you can do is allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to tell you what's going on. I promise you, if you sit still long enough and wait for the still small voice, you'll get it. You'll hear it. And he does give direction. He does give guidance. He gives the greatest revelation right now in the wilderness. So why the wilderness? Well, John Bevere has a book called Victory in the Wilderness. And at the time when I found out I was in the wilderness, how did I find out? Well, because God told me, you're in the wilderness. And I had to start to do my own research. I will give my testimony on where and how I learned all the things I've learned. And that would be separate on the video. I won't do that today, but we will get into that place because there's many of you out there that are not getting the fullness of God because you're waiting for someone to give it to you. But that's a whole other topic. But John Bevere spoke about a lot of what was going on in my life and when I was sent to the wilderness. And in a lot of his stuff, he just broke down. So why the wilderness? Well, many come to self-condemnation upon entering this time period. You may think that you have missed God and somehow displeased him, but you have misunderstood the meaning and the purpose of this wilderness. In the Bible, throughout history, you have men and women who have gone through the wilderness as a time of preparation for their destiny in God. So the wilderness is not God's rejection, but his preparation. And that's the reason why you become in this place. So don't fight it. Don't come out running. Don't try to avoid it. It is a place where God prepares you for your destiny in God. God does this with us so that we can develop mature in spirituality. In order to foster maturity, he allows us to go through times in which he does not respond instantly to every cry or every call. The time comes when character must be developed. You have to develop character if you ever think about being the image of Christ. And the wilderness is where it is done. Okay, the wilderness is where God appears to be miles away and his promises are even further. He is, however, close at hand. And he has promised never to leave or forsake us. It is a time when you appear to be going through the opposite direction of your dream and the promise he made. Okay, so then you're going to be feeling like you're going to be going through an opposite direction. But in reality, God is taking you to that place so that he can fulfill your dreams and fulfill the promises he put in you. Okay, it's a place where you feel like growth and development is not happening. You may feel like you're regressing or you're being set back or you're going backwards. It's a place where this presence seems to diminish rather than grow. You feel unloved, even ignored, but you are not. This is when you get what you need physically and materially rather than what you want. This was the attitude of Jesus in his ministry. Such maturity of character is developed in us by God, and when we are in the wilderness is where the fruit of the Spirit is cultivated. It's watered by the intense desire to know him, to seek and to walk as he walks. The wilderness is a dry place. It may be dry spiritually, financially, socially, and physically. The purpose of the wilderness is to purify us. Our pursuit is to be his heart and not his provision. Then, when we come into the abundant times, we won't forget that it was the Lord, our God, who gave us the abundance in order to establish his covenant. These are times of testing. And now you're not going to be dancing and singing with the Lord because you're in the promised land. No, now you're forced. You have to force yourself and encourage yourself to move yourself into deeper into him. This is a time that you're dancing and singing unto the Lord because you want to make sure you stay within where he wants you to because you're about to enter the promised land. You don't stop singing and dancing even though it's the hardest thing you're going to be doing in the wilderness because you don't have his grace to move you. This time you have to move yourself. There will be times of questioning and asking God, why'd you bring me here? What have I done? But you don't listen to the voice of condemnation. He knows nothing of what is inside of you. And God is not punishing you, but pulling out the greatness in you. There is a great destiny in each and every one of us. And in order to manifold, you have to allow him to unfold of all what is on you to pull out what is new in you. God will not deliver you from the enemy to then become silent, and this is not his purpose. See, what kind of God would he be if he would deliver you from the enemy and just leave you and never come and speak to you again? That's not the God we serve. God brings you into this place to pull fruits out so you don't end up like many who only seek him for the benefits and blessings but actually are pursuing him out of pure love. There's so many Christians walking around pursuing him for benefits and blessings, only come to seek him when they need him. You know, Jesus has been reduced to what I call the resources in times of need. He's been reduced to resources. Jesus is not resources. Jesus is love. Jesus is your brother. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He is what you should be seeking, should be honoring, should be glorifying, not only taking him in when you need him in resources. He's not a resource where you pull off the shelf. He's not something you go to just research and put back. No, you're something you love. Wilderness reveals the motives of our hearts. What is being revealed at this time? What is your heart saying about your love with God? What is it saying about how you are with Jesus? Who is really Jesus at the time in the wilderness? Do you just turn from him and leave him as if you don't know him, but yet cry out that he's your Savior, but you don't know what it is to really be saved? Who is Jesus in the wilderness to you? Is he really your love? Is he really the groom? Are you really his bride? Or are you just doing what everyone else is doing? Who is Jesus to you in the wilderness? When there's no one else around, when there's no one else to guide you, when there's no one else to consult you, when there's no one else paying your bills, when there's no one else giving you a handout. And every time you see, God will not allow anyone to give you that handout for one reason, because he wants to show you that he is God. He can do it. Anything he wants to. The place of the wilderness where you see God's face, it's a place of pronounce. Where you come and you lay your body down and you see him face to face. This is the place where you encounter him. Elijah chapter 40, verse 3. It says, listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make straight a highway through the wasteland for our God. The wilderness is God's highway. It's a place where we are prepared it's a place where it's prepared, right? It's a prepared place for what God is thinking and how God lives. This is the highway of God. It is the highway to God. It is the time of purification. Okay, the Bible says, blessed are those who are pure heart that will see God. How many of you want to see God? Are you not tired yet of playing church? Do you not want to see the kingdom of heaven? You hear about it. People preach about it. They talk about it. They may teach about it. But if you don't experience the kingdom of heaven, you know nothing of it. God is in the process of preparing hearts for something greater, because we all sense in our spirit that something greater is about to happen, that there's going to be not another revival, but another movement. Do you not want to be a part of it? Because your heart has to be right in order to move in this timing, in this divine greatness. You have to have your heart right or you're going to miss it. The wilderness increases the prophetic anointing as you become that voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. God is raising up a generation of people who will manifest God's glory, who will not take the glory from themselves, but actually give the glory to God. They won't be running from here to there so that they can see themselves on flyers, see themselves on people's websites. They're doing it for God's glory. You know, the Bible says that God honors us and then the men will honor us after. So the first honor you're looking for is God. God needs to be the one to honor you. God needs to be the one to bring you up. Wilderness is where the place of selfishness dies. Wilderness is where you learn to be a team player. Wilderness is where you learn what true love is. Wilderness is where you learn what family really means. Wilderness is the place where God takes many, but many do not come in, or many do not come out alive. How they say that only the strong survive? Well, you have to be strong to come into the wilderness. If you believe that you have this strength where you are strong, then allow God to lead you there when he calls you in, so that he can build you into this place, mature you, prepare you, pull out of you the greatness that's in you. Everyone is promised a purpose. You have a purpose, number one, to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Number two, you have to allow God to mature you. You have to obey what he says. You have to allow the instructions of God to bring you into places of like wilderness so that you can understand who God really is. You know, a lot of people, I always say, like to call out Jehovah Jireh, but if you really didn't see him as your true provider, then how are you calling him out? You're just calling him by name without knowing what it really means. I can stay here in the desert and I can call you. I can give you 50, maybe a good 5 names. I'm not even going to exaggerate. Good 5 names of God. And I can tell you where I've seen him in those 5 names. I don't know anyone who's ever taught me about the wilderness. And if God has not told me himself that this is where I was or where I am, I would have been, probably thought I did something wrong, or maybe fell out of his will, and maybe listened to everyone else when they were telling me that you're out of order, when I knew that there's no way that I can be out of order, when I know that I love him enough to obey him and to listen to his every word and follow what he tells me to do, because he is the one that's in charge. The wilderness. You know, I think about it now, and I say, God, I can see John the Baptist. When people were saying, why don't you come out of the wilderness? And like John's like, no. I'm not coming out. I like the way I live. I can live on locusts and honey, and I'm good with that. You guys have what you have, and I have what I have. You either come in the wilderness with me, or, you know, we'll just meet up at the same spot. But I can see, because when you come into the wilderness and you come into this place alone with God, why would I want to go to a place where it's congested and I can't hear? So you get adapted. What I'm saying is that you get adapted to the wilderness. So John the Baptist became adapted to his lifestyle and didn't want anything else. You know, so he was good with where he lived at. He was good in the desert. Why would I, you know, come and try to change that now? So I always say to God, I hope now, God, that when I come out of this, that I'm able to actually intermingle with people, because it's a place where you get isolated. You know, even this, we have people in the house. We still isolate ourselves. Why? Because we're all being worked on. We're all being worked in our heart. God is maturing us and pulling the fruit out of us, and we're seeing it, you know, and we're dealing with it. You know, we attack each other, and God will reveal, like, you know, these things, and he'll be like, well, you know, you could, and he'll tell you, like, you didn't handle that right. You have to handle it like this, and he'll tell you what you're missing and what you're lacking, you know, and you go down the fruits of the Spirit, and he's like, okay, well, I have this, I have that, I don't think I have this, and you're honest with yourself to say, I know that I am a woman of fire, so when it comes to gentleness, I'm not so much there. So I say to God, well, show me how to be gentle with my fire. That's how the Lord works. But that's honesty within yourself. So see, the ministry is always you and God. It's not what people say ministry is. I'm starting to find out that ministry is always you and God. First ministry. Second ministry, me and my family. You know? And, you, of course, me and my family always means me, my family, and others. So I don't like to make too many brackets, too many. It's just too much. You're creating a chaos, and you're doing so much extra when you can bring it all together. See, God's looking for unity. He wants to stop the division. So I hope and pray that if you've been in this place, that you have survived. If you haven't, and God's been calling you to it, stop fighting it. And those who have been in the wilderness, speak up on it. We don't need other people dying in the wilderness, because this is a place where you can give up. This is a place where you say, I'm done. But in all reality, your prophetic word of saying, I'm done, I'm ready to give up, is you surrendering your will to God. When you think you're actually doing it in the natural, you're actually doing it in the spiritual. When you're saying, God, I give up. I give you my free will. Have your way in my life. You know, and Bethel Church just came out with an amazing album. And I tell you that there's this song there that, you know, touches our heart, and we play it now because it's our song for the season. And she talks about being over her head, and whether I swim or sink, as long as you're there and you have your way, God, that you would have what you said you would do, that your promises will come to pass. So with that, you know, we take it in, and we see that God is still with us. He speaks to us. He delivers us. He's cleaning us. He's purifying us. He's molding us for the next level. And I am grateful for that. But I also am grateful to be able to teach you at this hour to allow God to mature you spiritually. We have a lot of immaturity in the spiritual realm. We don't need any more. We need you to grow up. You need to grow up. It's a time to grow up. Grow up and start fitting into your clothes, your righteousness, garments. So I thank you for joining in today. And stay tuned for the next episode. I want to thank you for supporting us, for logging on and listening to us, and allowing God to speak to your hearts, and allowing your hearts to burn again. I hope and pray that if you ever encounter this area, this level in your life, that you would remember that God's doing a good work in you. So I ask that you continue to pray for our ministry and continue supporting us. Keep tuning in. And Lord, that you would bless them. Bless your listeners, God. Until the next time.